U.S. economic growth slows to a crawl.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. It's the morning open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll explain why economic growth stalled in the spring. But first, where's Wall Street? News of slow growth and the debt ceiling are hammering the markets this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 1% to 12,113. The NASDAQ is down 1.2% to 2732. The S&P 500 also down 1.2% to 1285. The Commerce Department reported today GDP inched up 1.3% in the second quarter. Gross domestic product measures all the goods and services our country produces. It's one of the most watched economic indicators. Chris Lowe is chief economist for FTN Financial. He joins us live. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So tell us, Chris, why was economic growth so disappointing?
Well, the big thing is that consumer spending was really weak in the quarter. It rose just 0.1%. Which is actually, it's even worse than that. If you peel back the covers a little bit, consumption fell in every month of the quarter. And the reason,
wow,
primarily higher gas prices, but also car sales after the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. There were shortages of cars and they fell.
What about the debt ceiling debate? How is that factoring into this?
Well, I think one of the things they need to be thinking about in Washington as we move forward is that it's not just a government shutdown that's a possibility if they can't reach a deal. It's also the economy that's at risk. When you have barely got any growth at all, any significant blow to consumer confidence could tip us over the edge.
Any good news here?
Yeah, I think that the one thing we can all hang on to is that the earliest leading indicators, particularly jobless claims, which measures layoffs, have improved in the beginning of the third quarter. It does look like the economy is going to reaccelerate, again, as long as they don't mess things up in Washington.
Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
President Obama is set to address the nation about that debt ceiling drama later this morning. We're just a few days away from the default deadline on Tuesday. Putting things off is a familiar feeling for many of us. So is Congress just procrastinating? Timothy Pitchell studies why we put things off at Carleton University. He joins us now. Timothy, thanks for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
So as an expert in procrastination, what do you think of what's going on with the debt ceiling in Washington? Is this the same thing that used to go on when I would be putting off term papers in college?
I've been watching the discussion with a lot of interest because the term procrastination has been used a lot. And President Obama said that his girls get their work done a day early and kind of insinuated that what's going on in the House is procrastination in Congress. But I don't believe that it fits the definition of procrastination at all.
So what is going on and how is it different than procrastination?
Procrastination is always delay, but not all delay is procrastination. And in this case, what we have is people using delay strategically to make political points.
Both sides have said that we can't default on our debts. So is this potentially procrastination in that way? Or
we like to think of procrastination as weakness of will. We know what the right thing to do is, but we delay doing it. And in this case, the debate is, so what's the right thing to do? And if I see any procrastination in this issue at all, it's the self-regulation failure we've seen that brought this debt crisis. And the self-regulation failure here has always been to have more than I could actually afford.
Can this kind of delay ever be a productive thing in a negotiation?
There's lots of things good about delay. You know, we use delay all the time. Every day you and I will delay things in our lives as we prioritize. Procrastination is that one form of delay that is negative by definition. Delay has lots of use in negotiations like this. Procrastination doesn't. And I think we're all yelling, you're procrastinating because we can't stand the stress.
Timothy Pitchell is with the Department of Psychology at Carleton University in Ottawa. Timothy, thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
If you want a constructive delay today, head to our website. We've charted out the last 70 years of debt ceiling hikes. That's at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Chevron reported second quarter profits of more than $7.5 billion. Still, with oil prices as high as they are, those profits were expected to be even higher. As Bob Moon reports, a lack of refinement is holding them back.
When it comes to putting enough crude together to actually make gasoline, the big oil companies have to play the market, too. Stephen Shork watches the industry at Energy Market Intelligence.
Their refiners have to buy that oil, and they can't necessarily always transfer that high cost of crude oil into the retail market on a consistent basis.
That's because if the cost of gasoline goes too high and we buy less, the refiners can't recoup what they paid for the crude. At the industry consulting group EISA, Sander Cohan says it's a risky business.
What happens is that oftentimes when demand is not very strong is that they get caught in the middle, so they end up being not very profitable.
In recent weeks, several companies, including ConocoPhillips, Marathon, and Murphy, have decided the best way out of that frequent drag on their profits is to either spin off or unload their refining operations.
In separating these two businesses, what they're trying to do is free up capital to pursue what could be more lucrative crude drilling projects.
Analyst Stephen Shork puts it more directly. Oil companies would rather drill for steady profits because they see no let-up in demand for crude. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, a rather sobering piece of news. Turns out Apple has more money than the U.S. government. According to the Treasury, the U.S. now has an operating budget of about $73 billion. Apple has a cash reserve of more than $75 billion. Maybe we need a genius bar on Capitol Hill? In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
As China grows economically, the environment hasn't exactly been the first thing on developers' minds.
The pattern in China has been to develop land, not to protect it.
Now some of the country's richest entrepreneurs are changing that pattern. I'm Jeremy Hobson, China's first private nature preserve. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.